The word for today is wow. We got to get out more into the world that God created, into God's kingdom, into God's life, into relationships with other people, and make technology, screens, online world something that serves us rather than the other way around. Jonathan Haidt's book, The Anxious Generation, he's got a whole section where he talks about how over-engagement in online life, a screen-based life, actually damages our spiritual dimension. And it's very interesting. Jonathan Haidt himself is not a person of faith. He would describe himself as an atheist, but he's done a lot of research on aspects of human life that involve flourishing, like a sense of awe and a sense of self-transcendence. And he says, I just have to use language from religious life, spiritual life to describe this. And you spend too much time looking at a screen and it actually gets diminished. And part of what he talks about in this, what I'm going to talk about today, just this little prayer, wow. And Lamont says, really, you can kind of get by on three prayers. Help, thanks, and wow. And in many ways, maybe the Bible's fundamental word, or the word that would characterize the human experience of God, is just wow. From the beginning of creation, my son is a physicist, and he tells me that at the birth of the universe, a little singularity smaller than the head of a pin exploded into a universe that was already 100 million miles big in less than a second. Medieval theologians were sometimes ridiculed for debating about how many angels could dance on the head of a pin. But it turns out modern physicists basically talking about the same kind of thing. Wow. God creates the man, Adam, and then God creates the human being, the woman, Eve, and Adam's responses to burst into poetry. This now is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Wow. Maybe above all, when Jesus comes, the angels say wow and the shepherds say wow. And when he's done with the teaching and the Sermon on the Mount, all the people are amazed. Over and over again, it talks about the people being amazed by Jesus. Something in us responds with a sense of awe to the gift of life itself and the author of life itself. So that's the word for today. Oh, we got to get out more. Jonathan Haidt writes this when he talks about the importance of finding awe in nature. It is impossible to overstate the role that the grandeur of nature has played in human spirituality. Psalm 19 sings out, "The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork." Here's Ralph Waldo Emerson in 1836 describing the effects as he walks in a forest. In the woods, these plantations of God, a decorum and sanctity reign. Standing on the bare ground, my head bathed by the blithe air and uplifted into infinite space, all mean egotism vanishes. There was a Dutch couple years ago, found this out when I began grandparenting, who wrote a book about human development for little children, and that there would be windows when there wasn't just a growth spurt, when there was a development of mind such that a child was able to understand, comprehend, absorb what they could not before, when they're able to hold another gaze and that sort of thing. And they call those wonder weeks, the weeks of wonder. They're somewhat controversial, I think, amongst developmental psychologists, but when do we stop saying, "Ah, oh, wow"? When do we close ourselves off? Could this be a week of wonder? Could this be a day of wonder? Jonathan Haidt goes on about how a fellow researcher, Dasha Keltner and him, published a review paper on the emotions of awe, in which we argued awe is triggered by two simultaneous perceptions. First, what you are looking at is vast in some way. The heavens are telling the glory of God. And second, that you cannot fit it into your existing structures. And that's the amazement. There is another world, and this world tells us about that. Docker went on to become the preeminent scientist studying awe. He and his students collected thousands of accounts of awe experiences from people around the world and sorted them into the 8 most common categories, which he calls the 8 wonders of life. So here's the invitation today. Enter into one of the wonders of life. Moral beauty. When you see goodness, when you see altruism, when I see somebody being kind to another person or forgiving another person or noticing another person that other people don't notice. Moral beauty. What they call collective effervescence. Now, another word for that is going to church and worshiping, being with other people and being caught up all together. It's very interesting when people try to create community just for the sake of creating community, it kind of doesn't work. It's kind of like, in order for my life to have meaning, it's got to be about something more than just my own survival. In order for community to have meaning, it's got to be about something more than just simply community. Collective effervescence, nature, music, visual design. Steve Jobs, this remarkable life. Simon Sinek said in a quite famous TED Talk that what was remarkable about Apple is that it didn't exist just to make money or just to build computers. It existed to evoke wonder. That Apple campus, remarkable place, is located at an address called One Infinite Loop. Well, that's where I'm sitting. That's where you are today. One infinite loop at the intersection of this tangible world that we see and an infinite God who we do not. Visual design. By the way, when Steve Jobs died, his sister told at the memorial service about his last words. And they did not know to whom these words were addressed. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's the prayer for today. Spiritual and religious awe. Life and death. It's a very interesting thing. Anytime a child is born, what can you say but wow? When you are present next to someone and they breathe out for the final time and never breathe back in again and that life is over, what can you say but wow? And then epiphanies. Moments in which a new and grand understanding dawns. And of course, over and over again in the Bible, when people meet God, that's where that idea comes from. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. So today, get out more and say wow and let it be a prayer and start small. I love the account that George Washington Carver, that fabulous scientist, gave of his own life. He was a deeply faith-filled person. And he prayed to God. He describes it one time like this, saying, God, why did you make the universe? And God says, oh, you little man, that's way too big for you. Ask something smaller. Well, God, why did you make me? Why did you create human beings? No, still way too big. Cut it down more. Carver picks up a peanut. Why did you make a peanut? And God says, no, that's a good question for you. You can work on that one. So he went to his laboratory and found something over 300 uses for the peanut. Became so connected, Gandhi actually approached George Washington Carver to find out, how can I have sufficient strength and nourishment for my fasts and so on. Oh, wow. God, what's in a peanut? Something as simple as that. I'm sitting outside today looking at this world. Another wild thing. We have a dog that loves to fetch sticks. Right where I am where this camera was sitting, I'm not kidding you. I can't even hold you this entire thing. We have a dog who is utterly grandiose when it comes to the fetching of sticks and will pick up logs like this and carry it over as if he would be able to fetch that. Wow. So here's the invitation today. Put on a piece of great music and really listen to it. Look at a single living thing. Look at a flower. The artist, Georgia O'Keeffe, artists are so often helpful with this, said, nobody ever really sees a flower because to really see a flower takes time. And nobody has time, like to really see a person, to really see a friend. Walk through a park or a forest preserve and notice the leaves. Go outside on a cloudless night and spend some time just looking at the sky. just looking at the stars. The next time that you eat, notice the flavor of the food. Actually chew it and think about what it tastes like and what kind of a God would create something so wonderful. When you talk to somebody who has mastered a craft, I met somebody yesterday, doctor, and started a little 3-acre farm, practices what he calls culinary medicine. Ask them about, how do you do this? Just be curious. Dorothy Parker said one time, the cure for boredom is curiosity. There is no cure for curiosity. So today, be curious. The heavens are telling, can I listen, can I listen, can I listen? Oh God, what a gift wonder is. Wow, we gotta get out more.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes from John. You can also visit our website, becomenew.com, to access all of our videos there or subscribe for the emails that go with each video. But my personal favorite way to stay in the loop with Become New is by text. We will send you a text message every morning that we release a new video with the title of that video and just the link to the video. So if you want that, you can text the word become to the number 855-888-0444 and we'll get those messages to you. If you've got a prayer request, there's a group of us who meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, for 1 hour to pray for viewers just like yourself. So you can text or email us your prayer request at 855-888-0444 or at connect@becomenew.com. Remember, the most important thing about your life is the person you become. We'll see you next time.